Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected. Right now, we're going to hear a life-changing message from a senior pastor, Pastor Nick C.
We're continuing with our sermon series, which we've entitled Family Portrait, God's Design for a Healthy Home. And we've talked about marriage, we've talked about the role of the husband, we talked about the role of the wife. Today, we're going to talk about the role of the singles, right? So how many of you are singles here? Praise the Lord. Okay. And next session, we'll be talking about parenting as well. Now, so today, we're going to be talking to the singles. The message is entitled, Becoming the Single That God Wants You to Be. So I'd like to invite everyone to please stand up. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 25, verses 25 to 38. Let's read together. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, and those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Now I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Now I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks he is acting improperly toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if she is getting along in years and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. Lord, I pray for your strength to be with me as I share and preach your word today. Now I pray that your word will come with the blessing and the authority of your Holy Spirit. Now I pray that all of us will be sensitive to your voice and to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please take your seats. Question. Have you ever given somebody a gift and they did not want the gift or return the gift back to you? How many of you have ever tried that? You know, I remember many years ago, my wife and I decided to give somebody with an overnight stay at a local resort here in Cebu. And this person was actually a foreigner, so we thought that it would be a wonderful gift for him and his wife. Our family had stayed in this resort several times before, and it's a pretty good resort, no? Now, to our surprise, when we gave the gift to this person, he would not accept it. And my wife and I tried to convince him that, you know, even told him that, no, it's okay, it's an open schedule. And we can arrange the date whenever you and your wife can be available, and you can go on the date that you want. somehow he was really adamant. He did not want to receive a gift from us. To date, we don't really know why he would reject our gift. But you know, it's a very powerful thing to reject a gift, isn't it? You know, when you are the giver of the gift, and somebody rejects your gift, you feel embarrassed or maybe even insulted sometimes, diba? I wonder how many of you who are single here today have been called to be the single, to be in a single life, have ever returned or don't want that gift. Now, by single, I'm talking to the post-high school students, the college students, the young adults. Of course, those of you who are not married, no matter what age you are in. You can also be a widow or a widower. You can be someone who is separated, annulled, or divorced. Or you can be a single mom or a single dad. Some of you are singles by choice, and some of you are singles by circumstance. Now, whatever your situation might be, you're living the single life. I'm talking to you, okay? And you're in a situation perhaps where you don't understand what it means to be a single, or you don't see it as a gift, or you just don't want to be where you are in today. You see, many of us view marriage, you know, as a gift. You hear married people say, you know what, my husband is such a gift, or my wife is such a gift, or I'm so glad, you know, that God gave us the gift of marriage. But rarely, if ever, will you hear someone say, you know, my singleness is a gift, and I thank God for that. I've never heard any single say that to me. You know, a gift is a present. It has to do with the presence of something or someone. But singleness is often, you know, it often feels like, for a lot of people, it feels like an absence. You know, we define it by what's not there. I'm single because I'm not married. I'm single because I don't have a husband. I'm single because I don't have a wife. It's marked by a sense of lack and not a sense of fullness. No? A lot of singles have that kind of an attitude nowadays. Now, do you know that singleness is also a gift, just like marriage is? Let me show you a couple of passages from scriptures. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19. Now, the context of this passage is that Jesus has been asked about marriage and divorce. Now, in an earlier verse, here's what Jesus said. He said to his disciples that if you divorce your wife and you marry another, you have committed adultery. And listen to how the disciples respond in verse 10, Matthew 19, verse 10. The disciples said to him, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. Di na lang, uy, right? And then verse 12, listen to Jesus. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way, and others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. What is he talking about? The one who it has been given, therefore it's a gift, right? Now, Paul picks this up. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. He says, I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own what? Gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. So what is this gift that Paul is talking about? What did he mean when he said, I wish all were as I am? Look at verse 8. It says, now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. In other words, Paul is saying, mas maayo pa kung dili pa kami niyo to remain unmarried like me. And that being unmarried, as he says in the previous verse, is a gift. So both Jesus and Paul tells us that singleness is a gift from God. You see, many of us today in the church have this view that marriage is the highest relationship. In other words, we think that marriage is supposed to be the norm. And to be single is just preparation for marriage. But hello, we know that a lot of people are not married, right? And what's implied in that assumption is that if you're single, you're incomplete, you're unfinished, what? You're unfulfilled. Perhaps you've never said it out loud, but we certainly have implied it. So here's what I want us to remember here today. It's that the Bible affirms singleness. The single life is not an inferior life, and the married life is not necessarily the superior life, okay? Both are good. Both are godly. Both are gifts from the Lord. So this afternoon, I'm going to be addressing the singles. Understand that singleness is not a curse, okay? It's also a gift, just as married life is a gift. And regardless of whatever stage you might be in your life as a single person, I want you to understand that you're not living in the introduction. Now, if it's a book, some people think na introduction pa lang ni. Understand that you're not waiting for the story to start. It has already started. You are in the gift of God. God has called you to be where you are today as a single. Okay? So if you're a single, or if you're raising someone who's a single, or you've got friends who are single, I want you to listen to the godly advice that Paul gives to the singles on how to be successfully single. And of course, for those of us who are married, let's learn how to appreciate the singles. Now, and maybe we might be mentoring some singles, and we can teach them and help them so that they can be the singles that God wants them to be. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to look at three things today. Three things on how to become the single that God wants you to be. Here's the first one. Singles, no? You must appreciate that singleness is a proper life. A proper life. Let me just give you some examples, no? Think about Elijah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Jesus, John the Baptist, Paul. Now, these are Bible characters whom God used mightily, right? What do they have in common? They're all singles. Every one of them were singles. Now, what does that tell us? Very simple. That there's nothing wrong with being a single, right? In fact, there's a lot of things that are good about being single. Let's begin with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. Here's what he says. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. So kinsamaning virgins that Paul is referring to? Well, there are three major views on the identity of these virgins. One view is that they were virgin daughters of men in the Corinthian church. You know, and the fathers had questions to Paul on how to give their daughters away in marriage. Now, another view is that these virgins were betrothed, men and women who were betrothed, okay? The ESV, if you're looking at the ESV version, the word virgin is translated as betrothed, okay? Meaning engaged. A third view is that the virgins are females who are engaged or thinking to be engaged, but they're experiencing pressure from the church to forego marriage or not to get married, no? So whatever the case may be, the point is the people are of marriageable age, no? They have not yet been married, but they are of marriageable age. And here's what Paul says to the virgins, about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Now, Paul is saying that Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, did not address this particular issue. But he's saying, I'm sharing to you from my own judgment. That doesn't mean that, you know, we can take it or leave it. He is saying that this is trustworthy. Now, and we need to take it seriously as we do with all of scriptures. Diba? So in verse 26, he says, because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. Now, Paul does not specifically say what the crisis here is, but if you go back to chapter 7, verse 2, he talks about a situation where there's a lot of immorality going on. That could probably be the crisis that he is referring to here. And his advice is very simple. He says, if you're not married, then stay single. Don't get married. If you are married, then stay married. Okay? That's his simple advice. Now, by the way, while we're talking about singleness here, understand that in eternity, we are all going to be forever single. Okay? Because God's plan for marriage is that marriage is an earthly institution. In fact, in response to a question about marriage, here's what Jesus said, no? In Matthew 22, verse 30. He says, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now, God has a blessing for singles. We know that. Because we're all going to be singles when we go to heaven in eternity. Amen? Now, some of the singles are saying, right? That's how some of the singles interpret that verse. It's very interesting. But I don't think that's the way we should see it. We should understand that singleness is a blessing. Now let's go back to Paul. In verse 27, he says that it's good for those who are not married to remain unmarried. In other words, he's saying to the church and to us is that the single life is a God-ordained life. It is a good life. It is a proper life. It is a gift from God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I'm the first one to tell you that, you know, for a lot of us married people, we have done a disservice to a lot of single people. I confess that there's this shortcoming that we have as married people on the singles. There's this tendency for us to look down on them. Isn't it true? For example, we have this term that we have for the woman who is unmarried, right? There's a negative term that we use. What's that term? We call her old maid. Doesn't sound so nice, right? Or how many times have you seen, now for the married, how many times have we seen, you know, a man or a woman in their 30s or 40s or in their 50s, and they've never been married, and we're thinking at the back of our minds, I wonder what's wrong with him. I wonder what's wrong with her. I wonder why they never get married. What's the problem, ano? Diba? Ano ang magiging siya ng minyo? Well, the fact is, there's probably nothing wrong with them. In fact, at this point in their life, it may be that there would be something wrong with them if they were married. Paul is saying here that singleness is okay. Singleness is a God-ordained life. And many Christians today fail to recognize the gift of singleness. Directly or indirectly, we have ascribed to the conviction that singleness is, you know, unfinished business. We even say in groups and in conversations, why are you not married? What's a nice girl like you staying unmarried? What you need? Don't we say that? What you need is a good wife. I hope God will give you a good guy. It's too bad. Kaluoy ni mo. And diba, don't we say that? Parents, we say that. Relatives say, family reunions. It's very notorious for those things, diba? If there's a family reunion and there's this guy of marriageable age, we say, dong! Ngano nga magkanamin yun, dong! Kaluoy sa ni mo, uy! Kagwapo ni mo! Or kagwapa ni mo, ngano nga magkanamin yun, diba? In a sense, we're saying to them, you know, kulang, there's something wrong with you. Now, there's this one single in our church who, you know, whenever she calls her parents or her family or spends time with them in conversation, she tells me the topic always comes up because she's the one left who's single.
Manu apa mang kanus amang kamu ngoyabday? Kanus amang kita kamu, di ba? Don't we do that?
And even Christians, articles, books, blogs, you know, say if you'll just commit yourself to Christ, you know, God will give you a marriage partner. But you know, God never said that, di ba? He said He will give you a life of meaning and purpose and fulfillment. But remember, God never promises to give you a marriage partner. So here's the thing, no? Singleness is not defined by the lack of something. We have to change our perspective. Singleness is defined by the sufficiency of the gift of God. Diba kay gift may ana siya? So what do you do with a gift? You enjoy the gift, right? You use the gift. Now I see a lot of Christian singles today who refuse the gift. Dili sila ganahan. There's this emotion of the heart that's always trying to seek a way out of the single life. Always thinking, always hoping, you know. They're imagining that just around the corner, there's this special relationship. There's this special man, this special woman. And somehow, they want to get out of the single life. And there's a lot of singles, especially the ladies, di ba? Who give themselves deadlines. Kinahanglan, inig-25, maminyo na diyo ko. Inig-30, maminyo na diyo ko. Inig-35, inig-40, di ba? I remember the story of a woman who was approaching 35 years old. And she was still single. She was without a husband. So late one afternoon, she decided to go into the forest, into the woods, and she's going to pray for a husband. And she was there, it was getting dark. She didn't notice that it was getting dark, and she continued to pray. Lord, you know, tagay na kubana, Lord. And you know, an owl in a nearby tree just woke up. And the owl made a low sound that went like this, like, ooh, ooh. And you know, she was startled by the sound, and she thought that it was God speaking to her. Ooh, itubag niya. Lord, bisa kinsa lang, Lord. Just anybody, Lord. Ooh, abi niya, ooh. Now, we have this, what? The singles who constantly imagine life of bliss together with the love of their life, and it becomes the all-encompassing goal of their lives. For them, you know, it will not be complete if they never get married. Now, let me just say also, as a balance, it's not wrong to desire for a husband or a wife. It's not wrong to desire to get married. But it's very unhealthy to obsessively desire to marry, right? Remember, singleness, even the marriage life, no, is a gift from God. So as I've said a while ago, kung gift gani na, ato nang i-enjoy. Gift ba yan na, di ba? When you give a gift to your children, you want them to love the gift. You want them to use the gift. So let me offer a reminder to the singles who have this kind of a mindset nga you know, singleness is not complete. It's better to be single. It's better for you to remain single, to be single and die single, than to marry the wrong person. Okay, remember that, okay? God does not want you married to the wrong person. It doesn't matter if that person is nice to you, if that person is not following Christ, that's the wrong person. Amen. You know, I've seen it so many times among the singles. Ay, wala mong gwilain. Siya na lang. No, bisag dili Christian, arang-arang man sa tiyog batasan. Di ba? And again, remember that God has put you where you are today. It is a gift from God. And you do not force it if God has not yet given you a husband or you're still single today. Again, desiring to get married is not wrong. In fact, look at what Paul says in verse 25. He says, "But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. So, okay, Ramang, good to desire to get married. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? However, reminder to the singles. If you are single today, remind yourself that singleness is a gift. You are where God wants you to be today, so embrace it. Amen. Enjoy it. Be happy. Amen. Amen, singles. Oh, amen. So, that's the first thing. Remember that singleness is a proper life. Here's the second one. Celebrate singleness as a productive life. In other words, Paul is saying, you're not single for the purpose just for you to remain single. You're single also for a purpose, for the purpose of mission. Look at what he says in verse 32. And here's going to give us a comparison. No? He says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. So basically, Paul is saying this. There's an advantage of being single. Is that, you know, you can give 100% of your time, your energy, your resources, and concentrate on God, on pleasing God and doing the things of God. You're not hindered by anything else. You're not worried about anything else. For example, you know, I can tell you that it's easier to be a missionary when you're single than when you're married, diba? Simple, because if you're married, you have to worry about your kids, you know, you have to get them adapted to the culture, you have to worry about where you bring them to school, you have to worry, you will be concerned about a husband or a wife who might not be happy in a foreign place. I mean, if you're single though, you could just go, right? You don't have to worry about those things. That's just common sense, diba? Now, of course, let me just balance that. I'm not saying that a married man or woman with children cannot be effective as missionaries. That's not what I'm saying. But here you can see that Paul is just simply stating the obvious. That it is easier in many ways to serve God, to please God, to be devoted to God, to do what God wants when you're single than when you're married, because of the fact that there are troubles and pressures that are brought about by family life and ministry life. Diba? You see, if you're married, you learn almost immediately after the honeymoon that you have a spouse to please. And then the kids will come along. You then realize that you now have a family to take care of. And then you have, you know, you have a house, you have many things now, work, and you realize that there's a lot of things that you need to do just for the family. But singles, okay lang, you don't have those things to worry about, diba? I'll give you a little bit of a confession, and I'm sure the married people will agree with me here. You know, for the last 24 years of my life, I've never been able to make a decision just for myself. I needed to make decisions taking my wife into consideration, taking my children, my family into consideration. Diba, bro? That's true. A married person has to be concerned not just about pleasing God, but also about pleasing his spouse. When you're married, you've got others and other concerns to think about. Now, marriage is good, okay? I'm not saying it's difficult, it's bati. Marriage is a gift of God. We've been talking about marriage for the last couple of weeks. But, you know, realize that it demands a lot from you. So if you're single, or whether you're looking to be married someday or not, remember that at this time in your life, at this stage of your life, you are called to be single-minded to please and serve God. Let your single life be the most productive life that you can possibly have. If you're single right now, live with excellence now. Don't wait to really live. Don't live as if you're in a waiting room. No, because a lot of singles are like that. Put your heart into good, high-quality, single-minded living for the sake of the kingdom of God. You have the time, you have the energy that you will not have otherwise if you're married. So singleness is not about detachment, no? But about being fully engaged in the things of God. But here's the thing, the great temptation for all the singles out there is to live not for the mission, to live not for God, but to live for the self. Isn't that true? You know, I read about a story about a woman from the UK. Her name was Grace Helder. And here's what she did. She married herself. You know, because she failed to find the love of her life when she was 31 years old. So the Daily Mail said this, that Helder proposed to herself on a park bench. She bought a ring and a dress, and invited all of her friends to watch her make her vows to herself. And you know, upon an interview, here's what she said. She said, the day was obviously centered on me, and the final event on being a mirror for me to kiss. You may now kiss your bride. She gets the mirror and she kissed herself. Of course, the wedding was not recognized by the law. And a late night show host who caught or picked up the story said this. I was actually telling it to her. I don't know how to tell you this, but the lady you just married might be crazy. You know? I mean, think about it. We all think that that woman has gone insane. But you know, I do believe that I see a lot of Christians today just like her. They may not be married, but they are married to themselves. See, Paul is right about how the married person's interest can be divided. You know, when you're married, there's a lot to think about. But you know what? I see a lot of singles today who have no problem finding their share of the divided life. Whether it's Netflix or the latest film or working out or fancy coffee and dining and blogging and whatever, social media or conquering the latest game. That's where a lot of singles tend to default in their lives today. And the mentality of many Christian singles is to survive singleness and wait to get serious about Jesus and his mission only later when things have settled down in life. But here's what I want to challenge you singles. This is the best time for you to develop those habits of knowing Christ deeply and living for his glory that would go far beyond what you would be able to do later in life. Singles, are you pursuing Christ? Is your devotion to the Lord growing stronger? Are you developing your spiritual muscles and growing in love with Christ and his mission? You have time that married people don't have. You have resources that married people do not have. You have energy that married people do not have. You know, we married people, we kapuy ang married life because there's so many things to do. I'm not saying kapuy in a negative way, but compared to the singles, you have more energy. You have more opportunity. So don't waste it. Leverage. Use your singleness to be as productive as you possibly can. Live with a purpose. Amen. Okay, dako ng amen. So we want to appreciate singleness as a proper life. We want to celebrate singleness as a productive life. And thirdly, we must demonstrate singleness as a pure life. Okay? Listen to the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 36 to 38, as he gives us a specific example. He says, "If anyone thinks he is acting improperly toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if she is getting along in years, and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married." Very simple advice, right? In other words, here's what he's saying. If things are getting too heavy for you, if things are getting too hot, meaning to say, you know, your passions, your sexual passions are getting too strong, Paul is saying, get married. That's it. Verse 37. "But," he says, "the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has what? Control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better." Paul is just very clear here. He's giving us an example. He's saying, if you're single and you want to remain single, and if you can control your passions, if you can control it, no, remain single. But if you cannot control your sexual desires, then you should what? You should go all the way? That's not what he says, right? You should do whatever feels good for you. That's not what Paul says. You should live in together and cohabitate. That's not what Paul says either. That's what Hollywood would say. That's what the culture would say. That would be the standard of the day. You know, I was reading one magazine who suggested a vow for couples who are unmarried and are living together. And listen to the vow that they should give to each other. Here's what it says. "I, John, take you, Mary, to be my cohabitant, to have sex with and to share bills with. I'll be around while things are good, but I probably won't be if things get tough. If you should get a cold, I'll run to the drugstore for some medicine. If you get sick to the point where you can no longer meet my needs, then I'll have to move on. Forsaking many others, I'll be more or less faithful to you for as long as it feels good to me. If we should break up, it doesn't mean this wasn't special for me. I commit to live with you for as long as this works out." Isn't that the kind of mentality of the people who are living in together? Diba? You know, there's this sense nga, oh, basig magbuwag ta, so trial lang. That's the culture. That's the norm today, right? Well, it shouldn't be. It should not be. As Christians, our values should be different from the values of this world. And one thing that Paul is really saying to the singles is this: your lives should be marked by purity. Again, in the context of what Paul is saying here, the call for the single is for you to deal wisely and soberly and intentionally when it comes to your desires. God created sexual desires. They are good and have to be expressed within the context of marriage. That's how God designed it. But you know, sin has a way of taking those desires and shifting away, you know, shifting it away from their original purposes. So Paul is saying that if you have those desires, here's the advice of Paul. If you have those desires and you're burning with those desires, you know, then get married. You know, God does not want you to suffer as a single, and God does not want you to, you know, if you're raging with all of that, and God isn't telling you, just white knuckle yourself and try to ignore it and will yourself. No. Paul says, very practical, get married. No, get married, then burn. On the other hand, Paul says, if you have those desires, the operational word is what? In control. and you have decided not to get married, then don't. You're doing the right thing as well. That's also good. So what's the principle? The principle is simply this. Singles, make a decision to do the right thing. Very simple, right? Do the right thing. Let your choices be marked by purity. Whether you decide to get married or to remain singles, do the right thing. Amen. It's not hard, right? That's what Paul says. If your hormones are raging, get married. If you are able to control yourself and you don't want to get married yet and you know you can stay pure, then by all means, don't get married. It's that simple. Now, I know. You know, it doesn't always happen that way, right? So I want to speak to those of you who might have failed in the past. I want to give you an encouragement. Please remember that God loves you. God wants you to know that His grace is greater than your mistake. His mercy is greater than your sin. Amen. In the past couple of years, I've married two couples in our church who have been living in for quite some time. And because of the admonition of some of the brethren, they have finally decided to tie the knot. One couple was even married already for about 10 years now. They have kids already. But amazingly, and through the admonition and encouragement of the brethren, God's grace broke through. And they decided, sige, let's get married. And I told these couples, you know what? Your decision to get married is pleasing to the Lord. It is pleasing rather than staying in an unmarried state, cohabitating with one another, and have no blessing from God. Now, I've also counseled singles who have made terrible mistakes in the past. Now, I've reminded them that no matter how others respond to your mistakes, God's grace is able to redeem and work them out for good. And I have seen the grace of God break through their lives as well. So here's the point, singles. Make the choice to do the right thing. Past is past. Start today. Amen? So, three things. Three admonishings from Paul for the singles. Number one, appreciate singleness as a proper life. It is a gift of God. The single life is a good life. God has given that to you. Secondly, celebrate singleness as a productive life. Use your singleness to grow in your devotion of Christ, in doing His mission, in doing His will, in growing to love Him more. Demonstrate, number three, singleness as a pure life. Whatever mistakes you have done in the past, you can always start again today. Make the choice to do the right thing. Amen. Let me end with a practical advice to those of you who are single who want to get married someday. Now, it's something that I've said over and over again in the messages in the past couple of weeks. Is that if you want to get married to the right person, you've got to be the right person first. It doesn't start with them. It doesn't start with him. It doesn't start with her. It starts with you. Cultivate your love for Christ. Walk with Jesus. Follow Christ. Serve him. Obey him. Because, you know, here's what's going to happen. If you're becoming the right person, you're going to look for the right person. And the right person will be looking for you. That's just a natural offshoot of having a relationship with Christ. Okay? So remember, our relationship with Christ is far more precious and permanent than any other relationship that we will ever have. And so for all of us, whether single or married, let's not forget that the only reason that any one of us can spend eternity in heaven with God is because the greatest single person who ever lived died on that cross, right? Came back to life, came back from the grave so that we could be married to God forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you for the singles in our church. We thank you for the Christians who have remained pure and have walked the single life with thankfulness and gratitude. And yet even also for the singles who have made mistakes and have come back and have decided to do the right thing. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We pray for our singles that you will speak to them, that you will allow them to have a better perspective of what you have given to them in their lives today. And I pray, we pray, that we will have singles who will grow in their devotion, in their love, and who will live with purpose for your mission, so that you, O Lord, will be glorified and will be magnified in their lives. And we do pray for the singles who will soon get married, that you will prepare them as well. Prepare them for the life that you have ordained for them to have. Again, Lord, give them wisdom. Grant them, O Lord, to be able to walk in the right path for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.